Tonight's episode of The War Room is brought to you courtesy of the Boston Battle Bunker. That's 69 Penn Street in Boston, Lincolnshire. The biggest selection of bolt action in Lincolnshire. They do competitions, games, and will see to all your needs. In fact, he's got one of the biggest selections of bolt action in the UK. So guys, get down to the bostonbattlebunker.co.uk.
Hello, hi everybody, it's Paul here at the War Room, and we're on the way home from Whitley Bay, and I'm here with Brian from the Dwarf Club. He's saying nothing at the moment.
I'm enjoying the sunshine.
The radio magic needs a bit more magic in it. Yeah. So we are, it's been a beautiful day here. We set off for Whitley Bay to go to Mayhem Day 3. Set off early in the morning, didn't we, Brian?
Yeah, we took me 5:30.
Yep, 5:30. We're in the car, as you can tell, so apologies for the sound. We've got the mics on, but you still pick up quite a bit of background in the car. But got there early, got set up. Most of the tables were all set up when we got there. Guys have been did a good hard job, so we got straight into the games. First game was 500 points. How did you do, Brian?
That was the one with take the objectives, central objective, and then 12 inches either side of it, along across the middle of the table, going from long edge to long edge. So you got, I think, 2 points for the one closest to you and 4 points for the centre. I got a wee win on that one. Fantastic game, though. The guy I was playing, Darren, great guy to play against. A wee bit lucky, I suppose, at places, but the weighted numbers for me, I had the 11 dice, so I was able to just take it with a sniper, believe it or not, right at the very end to grab the 4 points in the centre.
Grab the 4 points with a sniper?
I grabbed it with a sniper.
Oh, you should be embarrassed.
Well, just before that, I charged a full unit of inexperienced Soviets into two guys, and did one wound, lost the unit. So I probably should have sat back, just did the shooting, sat on the objective, but it was one of those silly mistakes at the time. But all in all, sneaked a sniper out on the one, took the middle one, and I think I had a 2 or 3 dice advantage on there for going after that. So yeah, good game though.
Yeah, and my first game was against Matthias. Hadn't been playing for terribly long, and he absolutely gubbed me. He had a Belgian army with the free howitzer, which I learned to hate very early on. His first shot against me, he rolled a 6. His second shot against me, he rolled a 5 with it. So I was ruining the day, and basically forced me into taking chances because I had to, and it all went pear-shaped fairly quickly. Although I was in with a faint chance of winning on the last turn, but I only had 2 units left, my Stuart tank and my officer.
And your tank couldn't take the objectives
and
anyway,
I couldn't take them, but it could contest them.
Oh yeah, of course.
So it would have halved these points. So if I could have, I could have destroyed each unit that was on his objective, I could have contested that for 2, and I could have kept mine with my officer.
Right, okay.
Would have been 2 all, but it didn't work. It was a real grasp at the straw again.
Yep.
I seem to do an awful lot of grasping at straws in this game. So Matthias worked out a well-deserved winner, and we had a short break, didn't we? Everything moved along fairly quickly today.
Yeah, it's quickly
today. So that first scenario, would you have made any wee improvements or anything? I didn't think it was actually. I thought it was quite good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one, Dave. I'm quite happy with that scenario.
It was quite clever as well, because on the 6-foot table, it meant you were effectively playing on a smaller table, because all the action happened in the centre. So it meant that the 500 points seemed about right for the area you were effectively playing in.
I think, if anything, I may have made it so that you got 1 point for your own objective, 2 for the centre, and 4 for the one that was furthest away from you. So it forced you to go forward rather than fight everything at the centre. So maybe
that would have been an interesting twist.
So maybe.
I liked it as it was. I thought it was quite... It was quite hard to fight for two objectives with only sort of... I mean, I was running seven dice. How many did you run?
A couple more than that, I had 11.
So 11 dice. So, yeah. But, I mean, we were big dice armies, Japanese and Soviets.
Yeah.
There would be a lot of guys maybe only had four or five dice. Maybe six dice, you know, so...
Yeah.
I would have thought it would be quite difficult maybe to... To win that, I wonder. I would like to know if there was a lot of draws of that one or not. I don't think so. But anyway,
draws coming scenario too.
So we moved on to the second game, which was moved up to 750 points, and that was
Manhunt,
basically, with a slight twist to it.
Well, he didn't have the ability to come in through any edge either, so it was really just hunting the guy down. I imagine there'd be quite a lot of draws in there. Well, over the course of the day, there's only one guy who won three games.
Yeah.
So I would assume that a lot of the draws came in the second game.
Yeah. I mean, I managed to win it. It was the only game I did manage to win. But it was. I think we each had a practice game of this one.
No, I had a practice.
I've had one practice game of this one against
Graham,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who thumped me at it. But when we were playing it, we both thought this is a really hard one to get a win at, even though Graham actually did beat me. But that was on turn 7, and I was down to one man. Then he managed to beat me. But
My second game, I completely lost and forgot the guy I was playing. But again, he was a fantastic player, really good fun to play against. He had a panther, so I got bogged down a wee bit with Tiger Fear.
Yes, Tiger Fear.
It caught me in a few of my units. When I needed them to do something, just didn't do it. So, but overall, decent game. Ends up as a draw. Probably a winning draw for him because he got six dice to my four.
Yeah.
But I was never going to do anything against the Panther at that 750 points with the list I had. Good fun.
I was playing Airborne again. Can't remember the champ's name, so forgive me, guys. But it was quite. It's a difficult game chasing the lieutenant. He had his lieutenant just run away to a corner, and we had a river up the middle, the centre of the table, with a bridge over it. So everything, most things had to go over the bridge. We treated the river as rough ground, so it was maybe only a six. It was like having a wall in the middle. It wasn't too bad.
I played that same table in the first game, and that's what we did. We treated it just as difficult ground.
So in that game, the dice rolling went my way, and I managed to catch him in turn 5. And we played a turn 6 just to make sure. We played it. We went through it quickly and played the turn 6 because he had a chance of re-attacking. Because we weren't quite sure when you captured the lieutenant, if you kept him, and then if his army then attacked that unit that captured him, would they take him back or not? I don't know if that makes sense.
I.e., does he become a token?
Yeah. So I gave him the opportunity to try and take him back, but he was, again, in my usual position of clutching straws.
Yeah.
So again, a great opponent, had a great time. So that took us to lunchtime.
Well, I would have made some changes to that.
Oh, right, yes, so that scenario.
We were speaking about that earlier, weren't we? Where if you killed the opposition captain, lieutenant, general, whatever you want to call him, you basically lost the game. You couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
I think a tweak to that scenario would maybe, if you kill him, you get 2 points, or the equivalent of two extra dice in your count. If you capture him, you get 5.
Yeah.
So maybe that just gives a wee bit of a different way out of it, if you get my drift. So, and that way you're not constantly chasing someone. Couple of turns, you could maybe just try and take a couple of shots at him.
And that scenario, which was a bit different to what a lot of people play, if you captured the opponent's lieutenant, so that was winning an assault against him, you were on a win.
Yep.
If you didn't capture him, you were on a draw. And if you killed him by shooting him with anything else other, or killing him with anything else other than assault, you were losing, wasn't it? So technically, both of you could win, both of you could lose. obviously both of you could draw, or you could win and draw.
The only way out of the loss, though, is that if you did lose by killing your opponent's one, the only thing you could really do is start finding your lieutenant and start charging his enemy. Mm-hmm. In the hope that in fact, not even charging him, because then he could capture you, so that's not even going to work. So, yeah, pretty much if you kill the opponent one through shooting, then...
So it wasn't too... The only sort of downside in that would be if anybody had an artillery bombardment and I kind of accidentally killed the officer. I would have kind of put your... Yeah, it would have been there.
Both me and my opponent did exactly what we spoke about on the way down in the carpool, was that I had a heavy mortar, he had a medium howitzer, so he stuck his lieutenant next to his howitzer, I stuck mine next to my mortar, so that you weren't going to shoot each other with the template weapons.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing, because you could...
It became a human shield.
Yeah, because if you shot him, you automatically lost, so you weren't going to shoot him or use HE on anything that was... close to him.
Yep.
He kind of became a shield. Or I used him. I actually just advanced my lieutenant, really, to try and put sort of psychological pressure. Sounds very fancy, but just because the officer was coming for him, I kept him out with charge range.
Yeah.
But my officer pushed up.
But almost dragging him out where you could shoot him, take him out of cover.
Well, it was either you can shoot me, but if you don't shoot me, I'm in there in your face, even though I'm really, it's just distraction, really.
Yeah.
But I know you're not going to shoot me, so I don't have to put him in cover, I can just run him straight in the middle of the park and jump up and down and make faces at you.
Yeah,
because you ain't going to shoot me.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. So I think I quite like your idea as a tweak. We'd really need to play it to see if it would work that way as well. But, yeah, I quite like that. So we had a short break for lunch.
Yep.
I would have liked another quarter of an hour for lunch if it was possible.
Yeah, pretty much they got Subway, got it, ate it, back in the hall.
Yeah, it was quite quick, wasn't it? And with us playing Big Dice Armies, we weren't going to be the first ones finished anyway, so we didn't get those extra minutes.
Yeah.
So, but then after that we came back playing 1,000 Points.
Yeah, game 3, I played against some loser. What was his name?
I played some, like, jerk, man.
Yeah, obviously we played each other.
Long way to go for a game against him.
Yeah, well, I don't mind because I broke my duck. I don't know, I think the last 5 games we've played you've beaten me, so...
Yeah, but that's out of sequence, let's be honest.
I was luring you in a false sense of security and hustling you, so...
I was feeling sorry for you, I just didn't want you to do any crying, so...
Thought
it was about time you won one.
Yeah, exactly, so... No, another good game though. As all our games, I always enjoy playing against you. So
I do enjoy it. It was quite a tough game.
It's a scenario, and we've discussed this. We've discussed it a few other guys. How it set out at the start was that whoever had the most amount of dice was the defender.
Yeah.
And you get.
Because we discussed this because we didn't think we were going to play each other in this competition.
Yeah, we didn't expect it would happen, but hey, it happened. Thankfully.
Yeah. So we both kind of planned on being defender, hadn't we?
Yeah. So your first 500 points that you had in your first list, you deploy on the table as defender. Your first wave is your next 250, which would have taken you up to the 750, and your 250 point block, which is your 750 to 1,000, comes on in reserves.
Yeah.
Now
the attacker brings on his 750 as first wave, and the last 250 as reserves.
Yeah. Now, looking at that, I'd built my list and handed it in before reading the scenarios.
Yeah, me too.
And if I had read them that way, I would have had my 250 points for my upgrades, basically, the opposite way around in my lists. Because what I meant is it was my two medium howitzers were coming in reserves. I would have liked them in just a wee turn earlier as well. Not that I needed to, but...
So you ended up being defender in this one, didn't you, with your
defender.
Massive dice army.
Yeah, so I was sitting on 18 dice.
But the good thing for the attacker, which was me, is you got to have prep bombardment.
Well, it's good for every other attacker, no good for you when you roll a one.
So, yeah, I rolled a one, so...
Out of the three scenarios, it's the only one I'd had a practice game, and I played it over at Sixes a few weeks ago against Harrison. And he did get the prep bombardment in against me, and it meant the first turn I was doing a few rallies and things. But because you never got it, I was automatically able to put things down on ambush or just.
I don't know that it made a lot of difference in actual fact.
Maybe in a different game,
it might have done. You might have been shooting at me instead of putting stuff on ambush, because the ambushes never really. Did the ambushes do any harm to me? I don't think they did. It was your sniper taking my sniper, but that was an ambush. So.
Yeah, well, I had the two snipers to your one, and then...
I had two snipers.
Did you?
Oh.
So you did.
Oh, I'm just as cheesy as you are.
Yeah. I forget, because I killed both of you.
Oh! below the belt.
Yeah, just a touch. I also had three anti-tank rifles, which almost turned into snipers for the game.
Yeah, they're poor man sniper, but yeah.
They did that in most games. It was never really a target for them.
How did your anti-tank rifles do then? Were they worth the points, or...?
Yes, in the effect that they're really, really cheap dice to give me that wee swing advantage in the dice bag. Did they do much in any of the games? First game, they chased away the armoured car a couple of times. Made it wrecky, so if it's wrecking away, it's not shooting me. So, yeah, probably saved me a bit on there. Second game, I'm up against a Panther. Anti-tank rifle's only going to crack it. Although he was regular, so it was worth me pinging shots at it in the hope that I could get up to take the roll and maybe take a pin or two. I think I maybe got one pin on it out of the shots that I didn't take. The board was quite tight in the... Not tight, it was an open field, but there was a lot of blocking heavy cover, or walls, and there was lots of barbed wire, and the ruins and stuff, the way they just sat. It was quite difficult to actually do anything, and we played that across 5 feet, which obviously we were never going to catch each other on that game. And in the third game, you saw for yourself the anti-tank rifles.
They were a bit meh.
Popped away, but again, 90 points, 3 dice in the bag.
Yep.
So, yeah. Would I use them again? Yeah, probably I would. Especially the 500s, depending who you're playing against. Put them in there specifically in case anyone come with trucks, jeeps, and that's what I was kind of expecting to come up against in there anyway. The wee armoured car, nothing too crazy. So yeah, I would use them again that way.
I think that Panther played at 500 points as well, didn't it?
It did. Aye, aye, aye. 300 points in it, 500 point game. So he must have won it as well, I think, cause if he was playing against me, because I was on a win for the first game. So. Or I'm assuming he won it.
Anyway, so back to the last game. I diverted you there, sorry, really.
Yep.
That was the sides, and that was the scenario. We know how it ended up. You ended up thumping me.
Yeah, well, it was basically the defender got 2 points for every unit he killed.
Are we now going to tell him what the point score was?
We'll do that in a second. And attacker got 1 point for each unit he killed, and was it 2 points for every unit that he got?
Yeah, I think that's where we were. We'd been discussing this beforehand, anyway, about the likelihood of who's winning.
By the end of the game, I had 13 dice, so 26 points pretty much. You had 6 of mine?
Yep.
And nothing in the deployment zone.
Yep.
It was a bit of a sore one. You did have to go for a last sort of ditch attempt in the end. Crammed everything into a lorry, horsed it down the
four
road.
Units into a lorry that only takes 8 men.
Yeah, exactly. Two mortar teams. Horsed it down the road at a run.
Yeah. Well,
it wasn't a run either, was it?
It was a run, but it was your anti-tank rifle to take it out.
And because I knew he was going to do that the turn before, I put my anti-tank rifles and stuff on ambush. And
so, that guy was worth his points.
Oh yeah, he made his money. Come down, first shot hits it in the side, pops it open, everything inside takes the hits and dies. So
it was three. I was left with one unit, wasn't I? Out of the five, four units in the truck, I was left with one unit.
One shot.
One man.
Yeah, one shot for an anti-tank rifle got me 5 dice or 10 points. So
but I didn't really have any choice. If that had made it, and if it had survived, which there was a lot of shooting coming in its way, technically I might be able to win.
Well, you basically had to do that, and I still
there wasn't a choice, really. So.
I think I still had about 7 or 8 dice that I could have turned fire on it as well.
And it was quite good fun doing it, actually. I think that sprung in. I think you still had another 2 ambushes from something. So
and I still had.
Anyway,
I still had my TikTok that I could bring round and shoot as well, and a couple of my attack rifles. I had a medium howitzer, I could have popped in its face. There was a few things I still said there.
That was good. So that scenario we thought could do with a bit of tinkering with, didn't we? But we're not.
not
we decided how it could have been tinkered.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to tinker that one.
But how did it play? I actually. Would I have changed it? I don't know, to be honest.
I think as attackers, it's just too difficult.
Yeah, it was. Well, it's the defenders taking 2 points for each unit.
Yeah.
Is just too much.
The only other way to do it is that this is going to sound too extreme, that defenders get 3 but attackers get 2.
Yeah.
Because that would decrease the amount in between.
The deficit, yeah.
Rather than the 2-1, so.
Yeah.
I think maybe 3 points.
Anyway, I've just taken the wrong turn.
Ah, well. It's a mystery tour thing. So, yeah, I think 3 points to 2 points, plus getting your 2 points if you get into...
Yes, that might have been... It just seemed, when we were looking at it from afar without having played it, it did seem quite difficult for an attacker to win that one.
Yeah. Again, I'm sitting with a ward with a lot of units. I had 2 12-man units, 2 11-man units, 3 anti-tank rifle teams, 2 medium howitzers, 2 snipers... truck with a machine gun on top, commissar, medic, Tokarov Quad Maxim. What else did I have?
Arrows.
I've done them. Yeah. Anyway, it was 18 dice.
Aye. But,
so it's a lot of firepower sitting back there, and you're coming at me with spears. So I get a good.
Yeah, but I mean, even when we looked at, without our armies in the mix, when we looked at it as a scenario,
yeah,
we kind of thought, well, that's quite difficult for anybody to.
It's the tough one.
To win, really, to be doing well at that, you need big veteran squads if you're attacking.
Yeah.
And transports, and somewhere to hide them before turn 5 and 6, really.
Yeah, you'd almost want to sit back and then on turn 6, hopefully, that the other guy's dice come out first. Try and do something, you just race in and just sneak the places.
So that's how we kind of ended up that game, and I think I came in a lowly 16th or something, we'll not mention that. You did well though, Brian, you came in 4th.
Yeah, I got a sneaky 4th, so yeah, happy with that. Well, happy. So it was 2 wins and a draw, so well worth the journey down. Got a couple of nice wee prizes, so I picked up a Stuka Zafus.
Indeed.
The Rubicon one. And I got a wee packet of, it's like female civilians with guns, which will come in handy for me from a wee sea lion thing that I'm pulling together.
Yeah, we got a wee goodie bag, didn't we, as well?
Goodie bag was brilliant, yeah. So there's a wee miniature in there for Dixon's, a couple of dice. Deep Cut Studios studded mouse mat style dice tray.
Yep.
So that was pretty decent. And then a wee acrylic angle of fire arc.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. I missed that in my pack. Yeah, oh, that's quite there, quite handy.
Yeah, it's a nice small size one as well, so good to use. What else? There are loads of leaflets and discount vouchers and things like that as well. Yeah, brilliant wee pack. The guys done fantastic getting it together and getting the sponsorship for it. There's also some really cool tokens that came through somebody called Custom Counters. Okay. So,
way off to the website, guys, and find, look at those. there was a lot of prizes. Everybody got at least one prize.
Yeah, they went around for a second time as well.
Did everybody get a second one? I can't remember.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I was too busy packing up tables to.
Yeah, that's when I got my wee packet of women with guns. All so. Right.
That was good. Overall, the tournament seemed to run very smoothly. The guys seemed to have done. I think Dom was away off on a family trip across to Poland to see friends and family. So Ben and
Andy
stepped in and did admirably. And yeah, it all seemed to go very well, to be honest. Yeah.
Fantastic wee tournament. Loved it.
Yeah. On the days, I don't think we saw any real rules quibbles at all, did we?
No.
It was very... Not that I noticed, anyway.
Anything
come up in our game. There was one or two scenario queries, but, you know, other than that, really.
Yeah, it was a good game. Good tournament. I definitely want to come back down again.
For us up here in Scotland, it's reasonably handy, because it's a 2.5-hour trip, so...
Yeah.
It's not too bad. Compared to some of the ones, if we go down to the lead belt. Yeah, really, best part of 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, depending if you go down to Cambridge, isn't it?
Yeah,
why did that come in here?
I haven't got a clue, but we're now sitting down at Queen Margaret's University, so...
Hey, we'll get there eventually.
Strictly no parking, but there's plenty of turning, so we're cool. So,
yeah, we'll get there. One too early. So, yeah, the event... Yeah, definitely come back down to that one again, I think. So, what have we got coming up? We have our own Scottish National Tournament coming up, don't we?
Certainly do. That's probably about 3 weeks past yesterday, isn't it?
It is. So, looking to get the... lists, army lists in from people.
Yeah. Also, if anyone else wants to come along, there's space.
If you've still got space.
Oh, we can always make space.
We can always make space.
Yeah, we've got space for anywhere up to 50 players in that hall. Whether we've got space for 25 tables worth of terrain is a completely different story. But I think we're sitting 20 odd players at the moment.
Yeah.
Obviously, we can still do that. And there's some guys that have offered to bring terrain for us, which is fantastic. Again, it's like all of our tournaments at the club, everything goes towards charity that we make profit wise. So the first couple of tournaments this year, Blockbuster just a few weeks back, and this one, any profit is going to the 26-5 Scout Group, because we're taking them over. Well, I'm a scout leader, so, but we're taking them over to Normandy this year, so play some World War II games, and it helps the kids actually appreciate what happened in World War II when we take them over there. So yeah, that's good. Our tournaments are all going to Cruise Bereavement this year, so yeah, we like to give a wee bit of money out to charities. So
that's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Carronade on Saturday.
Gosh, Carronade, big show here in Scotland, one of the big shows in Britain, but certainly probably, am I right in saying the biggest one in Scotland? Maybe Claymore as well, but it's not as big as Carronade.
I think so, it swings around, but I'm not sure how big, which one's bigger than the other, but Carronade, for me, I wouldn't miss it on a yearly basis.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. The guys that run it at Falkirk do an amazing job with it. Loads of really good top class displays, and a huge variety of stalls as well. There's not very much things you can't get.
There is. There's an awful lot of traders at this one, isn't there?
Yeah.
I would reckon you must be up pretty close.
30, 40 traders, maybe?
It must be more than that, because you've got three halls.
Yeah.
I would have thought you were up past the 50s to 60s.
It's as much as that. That's because I'm always on the table. I didn't see all of them.
Well, I mean, you've got everybody in the big hall.
Yep.
The big gym hall. You've got everybody in the dining hall.
You've got the main corridor in between.
You've got the main corridor, and you've now got the guys upstairs.
You've got a room upstairs, and you've got a fantastic
big flea market
as well. It's not a bring and buy like you'd see at some shows. Up here, what they do is you can rent a table for a certain amount of time, sell the stuff yourself. It gives you the ability to change how much you're charging folk for it if you just want to get rid of things. So you get some fantastic wee deals up there.
So that'll be good. So that's coming up. So a fairly busy time for us. And then I think you are perhaps representative for Scotland at the World Team Championship website.
Yeah, for next year for Poznan in Poland next April.
So that should be fun. It's a bit far off yet, but we're starting to think about it.
Yeah, we have to look into some things now. How are we going to look to sort of pull the team together, who we're going to get as a captain, all that sort of stuff, and just work it out. And I'll just try and do my bit there for represent Scotland as such with their own backs, and just make sure it's all in the way that friendly and fair for all. So,
so that should be good fun. It's something sort of new on the calendar.
Absolutely.
So we'll see how that all works out. I'm helping out with the organisation, so we'll see how that works out. But again, something, a new event on the calendar. It's not ETC, it's a separate event. So hoping that will be, for those guys that are interested in competition, we're hoping that will be right up their scene. And for those guys that like the fun historical stuff, well, you don't have to come, but we like to have a bit of competition.
Yeah.
And it'll be a good weekend away.
Much like any event, you're never going to satisfy everyone.
But it should be good fun, and it's something new on the calendar, so that'll be, as I've seen, a permanent fixture, I'm hoping.
Good.
So, what else have we got? We got new stuff out from Warlord, don't we? Anything there that you like coming out from Warlord? We've got the new American plastic infantry.
I do kind of fancy the new American infantry. I'm thinking a wee jar of sand coming back from Omaha Beach when I'm over there, just so that I can base them if I do do it. But again, I've got Falschermiger sitting there ready to be painted. I've got more French Foreign Legion sitting there to start another army with. And so it's time, and then when Desert Rats come out, there's always them. And
well, that's coming out in the summer, because yeah, you're quite interested. Is it Desert Rats or Africa Courier?
I fancy the Desert Rats. Yeah.
So it'll be nice to see them in, you know, sort of heroic warlord scale.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than the... I like the Perry miniatures.
I do like the Perry miniatures.
I'm looking forward to seeing heroic miniatures rather than the Perry sort of true life.
The French Foreign Legion I've got are the Perry ones.
Yep.
And when the whole army's Perry and you're playing against an army of warlords, you don't notice the difference.
Yeah.
You just can't mix them. Well, you could, but...
Yeah.
Not everyone is the same height, I suppose. Yeah. But, yeah, I like the warlord scale. If you could do the Perry miniatures, or as good as the Perry miniatures, just make them a wee bit bigger, then, yeah, good to go. I do have, well, Finlay, my son, he has a pile of the African Corps Perry plastics. So they're always sitting there in a box that he's never going to get out to. So I suppose that's another army I could mix. And I thought about even mixing the French Foreign Legion models in, because they fought both sides, didn't they? So
yeah.
I could bulk the army out doing that way. Who knows? Too many painting projects, too many jobs, not enough time.
So while we've got you here, Brian.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. While we've got you here on the spot.
This isn't. I don't even know what's coming here, so this isn't scripted. Go
well, I've got news for you. I don't even know what's coming here. But anyway,
exactly.
So, if you were going to change anything about bolt action, not that we would, would you want to change about bolt action, Brian?
What would I want to change about bolt action? I kind of like it as it is. Rules is written, eh? What would I change?
How does Tiger Fear get you? Do you like Tiger Fear? Or
do you know what?
Does it not bother you?
It used to bother me, I think, because I thought, oh, that's overpowered. And even when I played my Germans, I always forgot about it.
Yeah.
But even though it really did hurt me today, it's kind of my fault it hurt me, because I went with nothing but inexperienced troops and stuff, so nah, it doesn't bother me, I don't think now.
I'm pretty happy. There seems to be nothing that's really antagonising too many people at the moment.
I think the only thing I would change about Tiger Fear is if it was Panthers and above, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure I like it on a Panther 4.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that's actually coming, or we've been told it's coming in the next pack, whenever that is, next year, but we'll see if they remember.
It just seems a wee bit OTT for a Panzer IV. Because when you're seeing nothing but Panzer IVs now, you're not seeing Stugs, you're not seeing all that sort of stuff. It's like when I ran my Germans before, I ran the Stugs with the riders on top.
Big riders,
yeah. The can't even know what that means nowadays, but you just don't see that anymore, because Panzer IVs, for their money, are now so much better.
Yeah.
And even in the past, I think they're equal price.
Yeah, because the German ones could only ride in assault guns.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a Stug and a Panzer IV are give or take 10 points the same price.
Yeah.
And then the Panzer IV's already got the turret, so it's got 360. And then now it's got Tiger Fear on it, which just makes it so much better than a Stug. So why would you ever take a Stug?
Yeah. Oh, pure Stug.
Exactly.
Pure Stug.
Bring them back.
And if Warlord were to come to you and say, Brian, we are going to make whatever model box of figures you like, what would you ask him for?
Plastic French. Yeah, exactly.
So normal French troops? Or?
Yeah, normal French troops. I just think there must be a market for that. There has to be.
Plastic
Italians, but they're going to come with the desert.
Winter, isn't it? The Western Desert.
The Western Desert. Italians just make so much sense to put it into there. You can't have a desert without Italians there. So, after that, I think French and long greatcoats and stuff like that. I think they just look cool.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll get more winter Brits.
I'm not overly impressed by the winter Brits.
Harrison says that as well. I quite like them, but Harrison says he's not going for them.
I don't know.
It's the leather jerkin. He doesn't like leather jerkins for some reason. Yeah, I like leather jerkins.
I don't mind the leather jerkins, because I had some of them on my first ever British Army with it. There's a few models here and there that had them. But no, I'm just not overly taken. Maybe the models just look a bit cluttered for me.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's the wish list gone. So about time for us to sign off. So until Friday, we will love you and leave you guys. And remember to comment and message and all that usual stuff. And we'll talk to you on Friday. Mahalo for now.